there couldn't be a greater contrast between the first reading and the gospel. The first reading, which I want to reflect on for a moment again, the next to last reading from Hebrews. Tomorrow we have the last and we're finished with Hebrews for this cycle anyway. You can always read it every day on your own, but at least here in the liturgy we're done. That advice about how the grace of Christ can make us truly human, and this violence, sensuality, wickedness, weakness, what a contrast. What a contrast. Herodias hated John because John had the courage in public to confront Herod and say, "That woman is not your wife." Why did he do that? Because he wanted to protect God's people. Enough vice goes on among the leaders and everybody says, "Oh, I guess it's all right." And because he loves God's people, he won't let that happen. That immorality must be challenged. Though, he probably knew what that would mean for him. He's sort of the patron saint of the pro-lifers, who go out and stand on the street, say the rosary, and witness that murder in that abortion clinic is wrong. And they stand there to say so that people just cannot settle into that vice for their own ruin. This evil set loose like that destroys those who set it loose and destroys everybody else, especially those who tolerate it. Now, in the gospel, in the first reading rather, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect hospitality, for through it some have unknowingly entertained angels. I thought when we were reading that of the people coming to visit us over the weekend, and there were so many of them being put up in the houses of the community. And I thought, you see, probably not angels, because I know most of them. I mean, they're angelic maybe, but they're not angels. But that line, along with that line, goes an old phrase in the tradition, and it's often quoted by the fathers of the church when this notion is brought up. The line is, when you see your brother, you see the Lord your God. It's an old axiom in the church. In fact, some fathers of the church thought it was in the Gospels. When you see your brother, you see the Lord your God. Next time you get mad at somebody, remember that and stop. And so, and then just listen to what the grace of Christ can do. Be mindful of prisoners as if sharing their imprisonment, and of the ill-treated as of yourself, for you also are in the body. We make up one body. So if any of our brethren are in prison, you know, that's us. And the Lord is going to say one day, "I was sick and in prison, and you came to visit me." I just find it wonderful that this author can go from talking about coming to Mount Zion, you know, being gathered with the heavenly Jerusalem and our own gathering mixed together, and the Lord there with the blood that speaks more loudly than that of Abel, and then turn right around and talk about these simple, basic virtues inspired by Almighty God Himself, the Holy Spirit. Let marriage be honored among all, and the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the immoral and the adulterers. Let your life be free from love of money. Be content with what you have. You see how basic these things are? And we keep these and obey these in the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit, who is God. This is the way that you sometimes can judge authenticity. You know, in the desert, there'd be a young monk out there doing great, fasting all the time, praying all the time, looking good. And one of the old monks would go, that he didn't know, would go and visit with him. And of course, hospitality is the first law of the desert. Among the Bedouins, as well as among the monks, you know, because anyway. And he would make himself so obnoxious. What the heck are you giving me this kind of food for? Whatever. And if that young monk kept treating him with love and gentleness and hospitality, then he was all right. If instead he got really angry and, you know, was talking all about his visions, forget it. Interesting, isn't it? That monastic adage, in a way, continues. Huh? The success of a monastery depends on the abbot and the cook. And you can always elect an abbot, but you can't elect a cook. You know, this sort of simple wisdom. As I was reading this morning, I thought of the story of the foundress of the Mary Knoll Sisters. Very holy, good woman. Large, a big woman. She had a ultimately fatal heart attack in the middle of a huge blizzard. So they brought the ambulance up there, you know, and then it was freezing cold, and took her out, and she was a big person, and they carried her around, they brought her. And she was dying, and she knew it. And when they got to the hospital, she said to the sisters, "Now make sure those men get a nice drink of whiskey to warm up. They've worked hard, and I'm heavy." Now that's, you see, that's real. But it comes from the Holy Spirit to make us really human. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Then this one line to sort of sum it all up. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the foundation. It's so delightful, isn't it? I mean, to go from that deep, mystical teaching to remember the poor, remember the people who come in to visit you. If you see your brother, you see the Lord your God. Sometimes these people have entertained angels and didn't know it. Probably thinking of Abraham at that point. It's such a blessing that the Word of God teaches us how to be human. You know, how to forgive, how to be thoughtful, see, and not just how to be pious. It's so beautiful. So, let's remember this today. And be mindful of prisoners. You know, there are people who visit the prisons to share, to help. I know somebody was in prison for 5 years, and the Lord protected him all that time. But he made so many friends. And he said, you know, most of the guys in there, it's a drug bust. They got addicted. And they stole to get money. And they're so poor, you know. And those are these big bad guys in there. Now, there's plenty of really violent people there, too. But help them. Pray for them.